the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you join us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado, Johnny Abear, Jeff Blackwell, and David Dawson in production. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Oh my goodness. Beautiful Thursday morning, and happy birthday to Father Chris Decker over at St. Mary's in New Roads. Awesome. Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. You look at it. He's 29, going to be 30 soon.
I don't know how old he is.
I was just kidding.
Well, that was a good
guy. Well, he doesn't age.
Like, he's young at heart, though. He doesn't age. That's the thing. He's
right.
I was trying to give him a compliment, and y'all are going like, well, okay, so he's going to be.
Yeah, right.
His cheek got us off guard. Johnny,
yeah, that's
Johnny,
right,
please.
That's right. Well, we are remembering him, but remember all the saints in heaven praying for us today, especially Saint Gregory Grassi and his companions who laid down their lives in China for the gospel. So we call on him as we do pray, and let's get our day started off in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy, for on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Especially today, we remember saints such as Saint Gregory Grassi and his missionary friends who gave their lives in foreign lands proclaiming the gospel. We pray all this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wonderful. We have a great show for you today. Looking forward to Johnny's take on the gospel. That's just in a few minutes. We have Lonnie Thibodeau with the Bayou Catholic Magazine. That's the official magazine of the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we'll find in this month's issue. David Dawson Jr. with the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau is talking about praying with your spouse. So I'm super excited to dive into this topic. And Sister Mary Ann Fatua talks about her book called Drawing Close to the Holy Spirit, Keys to a Transformed Life and Joyful Heart. So I think we could all use a little boost of joy from Sister Mary Ann today. So it'll be a good one.
I remember Gary Zimak making a comment one time, and it really stuck with me. He says, you know, the easiest prayer in the world is come Holy Spirit. So I can't wait to hear more from Sister later on in the hour.
Yeah.
Weather-wise, we're looking at cloudy. It's weird. We got a report of fair skies in one area, but there's a few clouds lingering out there this morning. Kind of a mild morning to get things going, but look for mostly cloudy skies today. Calm winds, a hot high of around 90 degrees both today and tomorrow. A 50 to 60% chance of afternoon thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly cloudy overnight, low in the mid-70s. And presently, we have, 75 degrees in Baton Rouge and Gulfport. New Orleans reporting in at 78 degrees, and Houma, 76 degrees on this lovely Thursday.
Yeah, that Hurricane Elsa just kind of came and went quick, huh?
Thank God.
Yes. Well, we didn't get much of that, if anything. I was hoping it'd take all the humidity out and the rain from our area, but never did that, I don't believe.
Nope.
No, it didn't. No, definitely. Well, I want to throw this quick event out there. So Theology on Tap is happening Thursday, July 22nd at 6:30 p.m. at the Abita Brewery in Abita Springs. It's brought to you by St. Peter's Parish. Theology on Tap is awesome. Highly recommend going. So you can find that on our events calendar at ccradio.live. But we have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It's 7:05 on Wake Up.
Thank you.
Good Thursday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is a continuation of Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said to his apostles, "As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey, or a second tunic, or sandals, or walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. Whoever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside that house or town and shake the dust from your feet. Amen, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
The arrival of the kingdom is inseparable from Christ's foundation of the church. The apostles are the church's visible nucleus. They will deliver the message of the kingdom's arrival and are empowered to communicate Jesus' saving presence. They will eventually teach, heal, and save through Jesus. The work of redemption embraces the totality of the human person and aims to transform us in all of our reality. We are invited to participate in this process because God's kingdom is an eminently social reality in which all the members have a function to fulfill. Jesus redeems mankind not as isolated individual souls, but as a family, because the field is ripe with human misery and slaughtered sheep. Jesus sends his apostles to those who need him the most. The idea of a purely spiritual kingdom has no foundation at all, either in the Old or the New Testaments. Similarly, the apostles are commissioned to proclaim a kingdom of heaven, not multiple kingdoms or churches. Both the call into the kingdom and the powers given to those who respond are utterly gratuitous. The result of receiving from God is freely given to others like God. Jesus not only imparts the gift, but also the very manner of the giving. The apostles were not called to be businessmen making a deal, nor CEOs running a corporation. They must lean on God alone for their support. Like St. Paul, all disciples should be able to proclaim, "But far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." The Greek word for marks is stigmata. The only food strong enough to sustain this mighty task is Christ himself. And so he said, "Just as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so too, whoever eats me will live because of me." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Oh, and happy birthday, Father Chris Decker. Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Oh, man. So, show me your scars, I guess, you know, like from the movie Jaws, you know, show me that you've got experience.
Wow.
And then how does that apply to the Christian life? Good job, Jimmy. You know, someone asked this question, and I'll still remember it, and they said, if you were arrested and accused of being a Christian, would they find enough evidence to convict you?
Mm. Oh, wow. Mm. I like that.
Ouch.
Yeah. And so you got to think, well, how would they get the evidence? They go gather witnesses, right? You know, say, okay, what was his life like? What did he say? So just like the apostles, you know, we have to report back to our king on what did we do with our lives? You know, it'll all relate to how we shared or we failed to share the love of our Lord, right? And to invite the other people to be with him now in this life, have an abundant life, to be with him eternally in the next. So I was thinking about that, you know. So what are we being called to do? Just like the apostles, there's really three key messages our Lord has for us today in this gospel. You know, first of all, it might be the lazy days of summer, but boy, time is of the essence. There's this sense that we should have, that souls hang in the balance, that we're going to have opportunities today, every day, mm-hmm. to say and do the thing in the Holy Spirit to move in us so that they feel invited to the Lord. I mean, specifically, for example, RCA is right around the corner, right? What a perfect time to be planting that seed, you know, in people's minds. And I thought about this story one time, and it was the story was about these two guys that were walking along a beach, and there were all these starfish laying on the beach. And this one guy just kept leaning down and kept throwing each one of these starfish back into the ocean one by one. And his friend was just kind of watching him walking along, and he finally says, the friend guy says, "What difference do you really think that this is going to make? You know, there's so many of them." And the other friend just kind of didn't say anything. He leaned down and he picked up another starfish and he threw it in the ocean, and he turned to his friend and he said, "Sure made a difference to that one." And that's how we have to think, you know, one soul at a time.
Yeah.
And I think the second thing that our Lord is having is to let peace be our guide, the peace that can only come from living a life of virtue. And don't let others disrupt that peace, because it's the Holy Spirit's work. We're just one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread, where to find food, someone said one time. And you got to remember how many people laughed at such great souls. It obviously started with our Lord, but, you know, men ridiculed Abraham Lincoln's speech at Gettysburg. Alexander Graham Bell's invention was called a toy. Yeah. Thomas Edison's teacher said, as a boy, he's too dumb to learn anything. You know, don't let these kinds of things stop us. And then finally, using our natural gifts, allowing Christ to change the culture, not to change Christ to conform to the culture. Now's the time, boy, the things that are going on all around us. So to sum it up, you know, guys, right? Time's of the essence. Don't waste it. Let peace be our guide. And mainly, let joy be the magnet, that gratitude, that peace that exudes from us. That's going to attract people. And when they do, then obviously time is up. Don't let that opportunity slip away to invite others to just to know the love of our Lord. Powerful words today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where are you preaching this Sunday, Johnny? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Well, stay with us after the break. Lonnie Thibodeau with the Bayou Catholic Magazine is going to tell us everything that's going on in the home of Thibodeau Dias. So stick around. It's now 7:15 on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 8th. Today we celebrate Saint Gregory Grassi and companions. Pier Luigi Grassi was born in Italy's Piedmont region in 1833. Upon entering the Franciscan order, he took the name Gregory and was ordained in 1856. After studies in Rome, Gregory was sent to China. Later he became bishop of the North Shanxi province. When the governments of Britain, Germany, Russia, and France forced substantial territorial concessions from the Chinese in 1898, anti-foreign sentiment grew very strong among many Chinese people. In 1900, during the short but bloody Boxer Uprising, Bishop Grassi was one of 14 European missionaries and 14 Chinese religious, friars, sisters, seminarians, and lay Franciscans, who were arrested. All were mutilated and kept in iron cages on public display, then marched through the surrounding villages. By order of the governor of Shanxi, the entire group was beheaded. Martyrdom is an occupational hazard of missionaries. Throughout China during the Boxer Uprising, over 40,000 Chinese Christians were killed. Saint Gregory and companions were among the 120 martyrs canonized by Pope John Paul II in 2000. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:18 on Wake Up. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Thursday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Johnny Aber, and our wonderful production crew, Jeff Blackwell and David Dawson. and catch daily mass today at noon, followed by the rosary. We also have the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Father Ronnie Calkins of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, along with Kitty Cleveland. That's later today at 3 p.m., so make sure that you tune into those. And follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Catholic Community Radio, and on Twitter at LA Catholic Radio. So lots of ways to connect with us online. And I'm excited, you guys, to talk to Lonnie Thibodeau. He is the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau, and he joins us today to let us know what we'll find in this month's Bayou Catholic Magazine issue. Good morning, Lonnie.
Well, good morning, Gabby.
It's so good to have you with us today, and I want to start off, you have so many things that we're going to be covering, but let's start off with the what we'll find with Bishop Emeritus Joseph Latino's death and funeral. This was a big deal in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau.
Yes, it was, Gabby. And you know, he, of course, did not serve as bishop in Houma-Thibodeau. He served as a priest in our diocese for a number of years, but Bishop Latino was actually ordained in the Archdiocese of New Orleans and is a native of New Orleans way back in 1963, but was serving in Houma, in fact, in my own home parish of St. Bernadette in Houma. And in 1977, so he was one of the priests of my childhood, and I knew him, a good part of my life. But he went on to the cathedral, St. Francis Cathedral in Houma. And what happened was, is when Bishop Jarrell left Houma-Thibodeau, was going to be Bishop of Lafayette in 2002. At that time, Monsignor Latino was named the apostolic administrator, if you will, of our diocese while waiting for a new bishop to be named. When, credibly enough, before we can get a new bishop named, who wound up being Sam Jacobs, he himself, Latino, was called to be a bishop 1 month later, and he was called to be bishop of the Diocese of Jackson, Mississippi, in early 2003. So, again, Bishop Latino, like I said, was one of the priests of my childhood. I knew him most of my life. He died on May 28th. While being, Bishop Emeritus of the Diocese of Jackson, Mississippi, a wonderful, wonderful man, really influenced my life and so many other people down in this area, but not only here in Houma-Thibodeau, New Orleans, obviously, and of course Jackson, Mississippi. So in the magazine this month, we have three completely separate stories in tribute to him on pages 6, 36 and 40, and there's a lot of pictures from his funeral in Jackson, pictures from the memorial mass that we had in Houma for him a few weeks ago. So again, I hope to see you again one day, my friend, Bishop Latino. He was a wonderful, wonderful man, and we really, really support and pray for his family. And we'll certainly miss him. He was a true original.
Wow.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Wow. Wonderful. And a beautiful tribute you can find in the Bayou Catholic Magazine as well. Lonnie, what can we find in Bishop Fobb's monthly column?
Yes. Bishop Fobb's column is on page 8 in the July issue of the magazine, Gabby. And what he talks about this month is interesting. And it's kind of a, in a sense, kind of a summer topic. And he talks about when seeking wisdom, don't forget the role of faith and prayer. And, and the point simply being is a lot of times when things, quote unquote, slow down for us in the summer, we remember that, wisdom for us is, I guess, gained through individual experiences, the accumulation of all these individual experiences that we have in our lives. And it's kind of a simple reminder that when gaining that wisdom and trying to learn more about ourselves and dealing with others, that, don't forget the very, very important role of faith and a prayer, a daily prayer life, when living your life. So, again, it's a great column. I don't want to give away too much. You need to read it, but it's on page 8 in this month's issue.
Wonderful. And another great column is a Fratelli Tutti one that we can find as well. So tell us about that.
Yeah, Fratelli Tutti, and again, we mention this every month. It's an ongoing series that we have in the magazine. Now we're to Chapter 7, and in Chapter 7, what is talked about in the Pope's encyclical is the need for paths of peace to heal open wounds, and in particular talking about the differences that we all have, whether it's, race or gender or identity or whatever. And this month, retired priest Father Willie Todd, by the way, small world, Father Willie Todd was in the seminary with Bishop Latino. They were good friends, and I, in fact, I think they may have actually graduated from Notre Dame the same year, if I recall. But anyway, that's an aside. But Father Todd does a great job of writing this story this month about Chapter 7 of Fratelli Tutti, and we certainly encourage people to check that out.
Wonderful. And Bishop Fobb also has announced new pastoral assignments. So tell us about those and where we can find those in the Bayou Catholic Magazine.
Well, you know, Gabby, in any diocese, wherever you are, whether you work for a diocese, whether you're lay or you know, clerical or a cleric, or, you know, when the bishop every year announces priest assignments, you know, that there's that anxiety that kicks in. Well, our list this year is relatively small. And I think Bishop Fobb, you know, knew because of obviously because of COVID and everything we've been dealing with in the last year, you know, let's not have too much shifting around. And so far, it's one of the smaller lists in terms of comparing to what we've had in recent years. But we had one assignment. In fact, we'll talk about this in just a moment. One assignment that was effective June 1st. There was another six, I believe, that were effective on July 1st. And again, it's a good list, and I think we've got a lot of really gifted, talented priests who are all in the right place, we hope at the right time. And so again, that list and the pictures of all those priests can be found on page 20 in the magazine in July.
Awesome. And you have a few ordinations as well. How is the Bayou Catholic Magazine covering this?
Yeah, it's on page 24 in the magazine, Gabby. And what it is we had a kind of a unique situation this year where we had one priest ordained, and that's Friar Nathaniel Gadalia. He's originally from France. He is here as one of the members of the Poor Friars of Jesus and Mary. So he was ordained a priest, a month ago. And what wound up happening is we had two who were eligible to be ordained as transitional deacons. And those are Stephen Castile and James Rome. So what Bishop Fobb decided to do is let's go ahead and put it all in one liturgy. So there was one ordination. Usually it's two that's split by one cathedral in one week and the other cathedral the other week. He decided to go ahead and do all three together, which is what we did. So congratulations to Friar Nathaniel and Deacons Stephen and James, who were ordained, like I said, about a month ago.
Oh my goodness, what a jam-packed issue already. And you also have a story on Father Robert Joel Cruz. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Yeah, Father Robert Joel Cruz is a very, very gifted priest in our diocese. And the reason we're talking about him is on page 34 in the magazine, we have and we like to do this with our priests when they hit those major milestones. So he is celebrating his 25th anniversary as a priest. He's originally from the Philippines. He serves right now as our director in the Diocese of the Society for the Propagation of the Faith, and he also heads up our Ministry of Healing and Liberation. And where his real gift is, other than being a great parish priest, but he's really known not only in our diocese but others as a healing priest, and he hosts these healing services and liturgies and is in the charismatic movement and everything. But wonderful, wonderful story about his background. I learned a lot more about him by reading this feature myself. And but Robert Joel Cruz, like I said, Father Cruz is a wonderful priest at our diocese, and we celebrate him this month in the magazine.
Wow, interesting. Okay, well, we wrapped up a little bit early. Lonnie, what's your favorite story we can find in this month's issue?
Well, you know, in favorite, Gabby, it is a tough word to use when you're talking about, you know, something as tragic as the death, but I think Bishop Emeritus Joseph Latino certainly dominates this issue. Forget about the fact for just a moment that the natural bias of he was one of the priests. I was a teenage boy and mom and kids, and we're going to mass at St. Bernadette. He was our priest. So, and again, years later, when I'm working in television, working in the media before I came to this side of the camera, I covered him a lot, interviewed him a million times, and just, so we were close, and I knew him very, very well. And it was just, I remember the delight in finding out while we lost him, the delight in finding out he was going to be a bishop somewhere else back in 2003. He deserved it. The guy had all the skills and the talent in the world, and I was just so happy personally for him that he got that opportunity. But he died at the age of 83 on May 28th, and what a great, wonderful, full life that he had. Mm-hmm. The city of New Orleans should be proud. He is one of yours, New Orleans, and we are so glad that we got to have him here for a time. Just a wonderful man.
Yes, wonderful. Okay, Lonnie Thibodeau, Director of Communications for the Diocese Home of Thibodeau, and also you're with the Bayou Catholic Magazine, along with the wonderful staff, Lauren Chatnier, everyone over at the Bayou Catholic Magazine. Where can we subscribe to the magazine and read more stories this month?
Sure, Gabby. Again, if you just happen to be in the Diocese Home of Thibodeau for any reason, again, the magazine, the printed copies, are in the back of all of our 39 church parishes here. If you want to see it online, two ways you can get there. One is bayoucatholic.org, or you can go to the diocesan website, which is htdiocese.org, and on the homepage you'll see the big Bayou Catholic box. Just click on that and you'll go to the issue.
Oh, man, wonderful. Thank you so much, Lonnie. I have a feeling for the August issue we'll be talking back to school. So,
absolutely.
Thanks for joining us. Talk to you next month.
Okay,
oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Evidence of Ohio and federal law violations were discovered by pro-life advocates near an abortion business in Northeast Ohio. A funeral home is caring for the victim of abortion who was allegedly discovered among refuse with medical waste and personal HIPAA information. Meanwhile, local investigators examined the evidence. Ohio requires proper committal of human remains after abortion. Thanks to the pro-life group involved, this child will ultimately receive that. A class action lawsuit led by President Trump is being filed against social media giants and their CEOs. The suit will likely argue that a large group of people have suffered a loss by big tech censorship. The former president, flanked by attorneys from the America First Policy Institute, announced the suit Wednesday. A list of tech censorship of pro-life stories is at lifenews.com. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life is like a bright city on a hill. Just as people in 1890 might have had difficulty imagining today's cities, so it may be today in imagining a culture of life. But it starts with more than imagination. It starts with the moral commitment to offer the highest regard to the gift of God hidden within each human life. Let's become the culture of life. In other stories at Life News, a young British woman with Down syndrome is proving an articulate defender of human dignity among those called disabled. Nike is doing its part to promote a culture of abortion. On discovering one athlete was pregnant, Nike cut her support by 70%. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is ignoring naysayers and pushing for more protections against abortion from abortion drugs. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
And a good Thursday morning to you. It's 7:35 here on Wake Up. Damian Collado along with Gabby Smith, Jeff Blackwell, and David Dawson are with us. And speaking of David Dawson, we have his son on the phone. That's right. David Dawson Jr. is the director and of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Home of Thibodeau. And today we're going to be talking to David about prayer with our spouse. And David, that's a great topic because that is something that I've always been challenged with because my spouse and I just don't either make the time unless there's, you know, a real issue in the family. But usually on a day-to-day basis, we don't really take the time to do that. Why is that?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think if we were all honest with ourselves, that we would say the exact same thing. Well, one of two things. Either we'd say we don't have time, mm-hmm. or we'd say that, you know, I just struggle to pray with my spouse because we pray differently, we think differently, we come at things differently. I'm worried.
That's what I hear.
yeah. And I think part of it, so for most of us, and including myself, even though Kate and I have been praying together for a while, I'm still like, you know, now's just not a good time. You know, we're going to wait till it's a good time. And usually when we say we're going to wait till it's a good time, it's because I know intellectually the value of it. I know that objectively speaking, it's a good thing. We should do this. It would be good for us. However, the reason I don't make time for it is because I don't actually want to do it. You know, and there's So there's usually some underlying issues, and that's the case for all of us. And that's when it comes to prayer at all, but especially when it comes to prayer with our spouses, because we all know down deep that we're not good at prayer. We wish we were better at it. If we're honest with ourselves, we feel like it's not going to be as fruitful as we want it to be. We don't have much control over how good at it we are and how well it goes and what the results are. And so we tend to avoid it in general. But when it comes to praying with our spouses, we got to do that out loud. And our spouses know us better than anybody else. And so they know when we're just kind of BSing or jumping through a hoop, you know? Whereas, I mean, I could pray in front of a group, you know, because I kind of broke through that ice a while back when I was in seminary. People always wanted you to pray. But praying in front of a group, you can kind of, people think that you know what you're doing. Whereas my wife knows better. You know?
Yeah. She so knows the inner David, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So if I were to just kind of, you know, just go through it with general terms and just kind of some flowery words, it wouldn't really mean much to her because that's not really my heart, you know, and so she knows better. And so there's a vulnerability piece that I think cannot be underestimated when it comes to the reasons we tend not to pray with our spouse. Mm-hmm. However, I think all of us know that even if we're struggling in our marriage, even if we kind of resent our spouses, or if we're doing well, but even if we resent our spouses, what we want more than anything is to be on the same page. But for most of us, in some level, we've kind of given up on that. We wanted that early on, but at some point, and usually at a few different points, we kind of said, look, it's just not going to happen. So I'll settle for this amount of closeness, or, you know, I'll just kind of hold on to this hurt and assume that until they do such and such, we really won't be close. But we want more than anything to be on the same page. And I can tell you, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, that will get us on the same page faster than just opening our mouths and praying together. Even if I sound like a third grader, it doesn't matter. Like, that's going to be the difference maker. Yeah.
Man, that is a good idea. I think with today's topic, I'm going to work toward that. Time is one of the reasons. I think the other thing is a lot of times people feel like praying on their own is a struggle in itself, by themselves. Yeah. But you get something, I think, a little bit more when you do pray with someone, especially your spouse.
Absolutely. So it's when we pray by ourselves, it's very important that we do that. Mm-hmm. However, God made us in such a way that we don't actually make sense. We can't make sense of the world when we're just by ourselves. Like, that's solitary confinement proves that very clearly. We can't actually think when it's just us, you know, long enough. And when it comes to trying to understand our prayer lives and to relate to God, although God is another person, for the most part, we struggle to understand God as another person, and it takes us a while. So for most of us who are just trying to make our way through prayer, we feel like we're just rattling around our own head, which is why we spend most of our time just trying to solve our own problems when we're in prayer or being completely distracted, because we know we can't make sense of the world by ourselves. So yes, we obviously should pray by ourselves, but the reason why, I think, my opinion, the reason why God says, "With two or more gathered in my name, there I am," is because when I'm praying out loud with my spouse, or really anybody, but especially my spouse, it's real, right? I know because someone else is hearing this, that this really happened. I really prayed about this. And then when something happens as a result, like if there's an answer that comes to prayer, like, I know it. I don't have to wonder, is it God or is it me? Because we're both praying about it and we both saw it happen. Mm-hmm. So it's real. It's so real. And I don't have to question whether it's real or not.
Yeah. And you start to confirm, and the prayer almost becomes a one prayer from the both of you. What are some suggestions, recommendations you can make to get you started?
Yes. So the easiest way to get started, and actually it will continue to be the most fruitful way to get started, even if you've been praying together for years, is to start with Thanksgiving. To just start saying, Lord, I'm thankful for. And I think you can be surprised, number one, how easy that is. It's not super vulnerable. But number two, just how that sets you up in prayer to not just go to God with petition. Because if we just go to God with petition, although that's good, we end up just being focused on what God's not doing, which can make prayer difficult because we wonder if prayer works and that kind of thing. But if we start with Thanksgiving, it sets us up to be in a place where we're already thinking about the things that God has already done. And when we're doing that together, we can start to get to know one another well and what's on one another's hearts and minds, but in a positive way, as opposed to just, what is she worried about? What is he worried about? Because especially as a husband, I don't really want to share all my worries with my wife because I feel like that wouldn't do her any good. You know, there's a certain protection level that husbands tend to have, is not wanting to put all that on their spouses.
I think that's a lot of it.
Starting with Thanksgiving is huge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you recommend a prayer list of sorts? And I don't mean a litany, but two or three things that you could bring to your prayer each day to kind of get you started?
Yeah, like I said, I think going through kind of a list of things that you're grateful for is going to set you up really well. I think you'll find that things start to come naturally after that. But I think being willing to kind of, especially with your kids, to pray for them by name is something very powerful. That kind of, before I was challenged to do that, I assumed that I was kind of doing that already, and it wouldn't make a huge difference for me to just say it out loud. But it's amazing what a difference that makes.
Wow.
So praying for our kids by name, for specific things for them. And then just kind of moving into the other things that I'm worried about or concerned about. And like I said, if you're kind of dipping your toe in the water with this, that starting with Thanksgiving is going to really break the ice. That's really the key, honestly, is just getting started. Mm-hmm. That is by far the hardest part. There's an emotional energy that it feels like it's going to be draining. It feels like it's just too much. I'd rather just sit here on YouTube until I fall asleep. But it's once I get started, it really is downhill from there.
Yeah. And would you,
Dave, I'm
go ahead.
I was curious if you find that picking a certain time that works for the both of you, like maybe it's right before you fall asleep, or is it first thing? I mean, how important is that, having a time,
absolutely,
you know, where you?
Yeah, it's very important, because otherwise one of us will be thinking about it, the other us will not be. And the person thinking about it is going to be like, oh, it's a good time. The other person will not think it's a good time and will feel guilty that they don't want to pray, which will start to lead to some division. So, yeah, it's very much picking a time. So that way, even if one or both of us doesn't really feel like it, we've agreed that this is what we're going to do. So it's a little bit easier to push through. I know for us, in the morning is hard, because I'm a zombie. My brain doesn't really turn on until like 11:30. And so nighttime, we may be falling asleep, but at least we're both able to be relatively present. We try to avoid doing it in bed, but if we haven't done it by the time we're in bed, we do it at that point, which means that's typically when we do it.
During COVID, my wife and I started, Father Chris was doing night prayers online. Mm-hmm. And we, along with others, and probably hundreds of others, were doing the night prayers each night. And I remember that got us through the COVID. And it's kind of sad that after that was over with, or started to go away, our praying together on a regular basis didn't exist anymore, and it's something I'm going to bring back up, and there's no reason not to. It's it's very rewarding. I find you build a more trust and intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. There's really, we have found that there's no other type of intimacy that will fuel all the other types of intimacy like couple prayer. And there really is, there's a level of depth as far as closeness and intimacy that really can't be reached without it. I know this sounds crazy, but we've been working with a lot of couples, especially when it comes to couple prayer, and it really is, if you're looking to break through walls, if you're looking to get closer and you're kind of giving up on that, this will bring you, I mean, this is couples married for 25, 30, 40 years who are saying, we've never been this close before when we give this a shot.
Well, David Dawson Jr., thank you for those suggestions. Thank you for that idea of praying together with your spouse. It's 7:45 right here on Wake Up.
It's 12 minutes until 8 o'clock here on Wake Up. Good morning. I tell you what, we got a good summertime start to the day here with a few clouds hanging around. The humidity is in your face, so take that. I love living here along the Gulf Coast. Weather-wise, today we're looking for mostly cloudy skies, a 50-50 shot of afternoon showers. Not only today, but tomorrow as well. The overnight low is going to be in the mid-70s with partly cloudy skies. Afternoon highs right at 90 degrees. All right, let's do the old round robin here in Studio A. It's Damian Collado. We gave Alicia Quibido a few days off. Or she's on assignment, as they say in the biz. I'm Jeff Blackwell.
That's it.
In Master Control with David Dawson. Gabby Smith joins us from New Orleans. And live and direct via broadband from Bush, Louisiana, it's our own Johnny Hebert. Johnny?
Yeah, talking about this, the time of year when the wind blows. Let's hope it doesn't blow too much, but we do always hope that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wind, its breath blows all the time, right? So here to talk to us about the Holy Spirit, we have on the phone Sister Mary Ann Fatuel. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning, Johnny. So happy to speak with you.
Oh, it's wonderful. And we're talking about your book, Drawing Close to the Holy Spirit, Keys to a Transformed Life and a Joyful Heart. It's about just a couple of weeks away from its release date on July the 27th. How exciting is that?
Well, I pray every day. I say, oh, most sweet Holy Spirit, let the hearts of those who read this be drawn ever so much closer to you. He is so worthy of our love and our adoration, and we bear such a treasure within us, and so few of us, I think, really know what it is that we bear within us. At our baptism, we receive the beautiful gift of sanctifying grace, yeah. And the Blessed Trinity dwell within us, but the Holy Spirit, who is their love, the Father and Son's love in person, gives himself to be our beloved, our joy, our healer, our intimate friend. And I'm praying so much that more of us would draw close to him and know the joy and the change in our lives that closeness to him brings.
Well, we could certainly, you know, just hear in your voice this love of this Holy Spirit, you know, and we don't often think of the Holy Spirit as being very personal, right? So
exactly.
Drawing close to him to us kind of might be a little more difficult, yet without him, we can do nothing. So how in this book, from what I understand, helps to lead us to be more intimate with him. So how then do we overcome that, I guess, perception?
Yes, and actually, drawing close to him is so easy, because the very fact that we're even interested in this topic means that he is the one drawing us close. And the church gives us such beautiful prayers in a wonderful encyclical written quite a while ago by Leo XIII. He says, just speak to the Holy Spirit and don't be afraid to use the sweetest of names. You know, at this very moment, let us just say, oh, most dear Holy Spirit, I don't know you, or I don't know you well enough. Draw me close to yourself. Just start speaking to him. You know, be the love within me. I give you every problem I'm dealing with. I give you all my worries. You please do for me what I cannot do for myself. And I am not that happy. I'd like to be more happy, more peaceful. I'd like my life to taste sweeter. You, dear sweet Holy Spirit, you who are the person of love and joy, do that for me. Give me your sweetness. Give me your joy. So it's really actually very easy. And we will see the difference if we simply start speaking to him. We will see the difference, because he's the one who is drawing us close. He does the work for us. Not anything hard for us.
I love that in the book, for understand, you draw upon a lot of hymns and prayers,
yes.
And it's and there are a lot of names for the Holy Spirit. And talk about that to help us in our prayer. Like, and you mentioned a couple, but obviously, yes. Beloved. Mm-hmm. Talk about how that we can, again, in our prayer life, use those names better.
Yes, and even if we would just look up online, or if we have in our prayer books, the beautiful sequence that we use on Pentecost Sunday. Come, Father of the poor, of comforters, you are the best. You are my soul's most welcome guest. You are my rest most sweet. You are the coolness in the heat of all my temptations. You are the solace in the midst of my woe. These are beautiful names given right by the bare sequence that we pray. And there are other beautiful medieval hymns that we can turn to. Joy of my soul. Beloved of my soul, beautiful name given, or soul of my soul, given by Cardinal Mercier. My comforter, refuge of the poor, help of the oppressed, help me, protector of the needy, hope of the dying. The Holy Spirit himself will give us the names by which to speak with him. You know, when we're close with someone, don't we use intimate names for one another?
And yes, the Holy, true.
And the person himself or herself gives us that intimate name. The Holy Spirit, once we start speaking to him, that's all that is needed. He himself will give us the names. They will just come to us. He's the one who forms in us that intimate relationship with himself. But he will give us the names. Oh, joy of my soul. Help me. Help of the helpless. These names will be given to us by him. If, again, it is not difficult to draw close to him. He himself will do the work for us.
Wow. Well, we are talking with Sister Mary Ann Fatrell on her book, Drawing Close to the Holy Spirit, Keys to a Transformed Life and a Joyful Heart. And Sister, I'll say that one of the things I guess I've found, and maybe others can relate to this, is after I receive communion and you're kneeling there and you're trying to pray, you know, that's time to pray to the Holy Spirit. I found just talking about what he's doing, you know, calling me, sanctify me, heal me. I go on and on, whatever comes to mind. The intimacy with the host in your mouth and praying to the Holy Spirit, at least I've found, is quite, that's the closest I've ever felt. I don't know what your thoughts are.
And Johnny, you say something so profound, because you see, intimacy with the Holy Spirit will inevitably mean a closer intimacy with the Father and the Son. St. Paul says that it's the Holy Spirit who gives us closeness to the Father and to the Lord Jesus. And so but also he is the key to intimacy with both the Lord Jesus and the Father, because he is their intimate love. And there is no one more beautifully, easily spoken to in love than the person of love. So you're so right. Wonderful. After Holy Communion, I know I do the same thing myself. Oh, sweet Jesus, I adore you. Oh, love. The Holy Spirit's name is love, St. Thomas Aquinas tells us, following Augustine. And I say, oh, love, draw me close to yourself. Draw me close to the Lord. Draw me close to the Father. So you are so right. After, this is the most precious time of our day, the time that we spend with the Lord after Holy Communion. But because the Holy Spirit is their beloved, the Father and Son, they are not offended by this. They are honored.
Not at all. Not at all.
They are honored.
Well, Sister, real quickly, we're running out of time. Where can we get a copy of this book? It's coming. Yes. I know it's about to be released. Where can we get it?
Yes, it's published by Sophia Institute Press. You'll find it online.
So wonderful. Well, Sister Mary Ann Fatrell, thank you so much. And what a beautiful spirit you have. Thank you for sharing your intimate life with the Holy Spirit with us this morning.
Oh, and Johnny, what a joy to speak to you. You are very beloved by the Holy Spirit, by the whole Trinity. You can tell that. God bless you.
Thank
bless
you,
all
Sister. Thank you so much. Oh, what a beautiful soul. Well, let's call upon a beautiful soul, St. Joseph, as we pray today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Oh, St. Joseph, whose protection is so great, so strong, so prompt before the throne of God, we place in you all of our interests and desires. Assist us by your powerful intercession. Obtain for us from your Son all of our spiritual blessings. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, everybody. Gabby, to you.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.